Welcome, everybody, to the Competition Archery Media Podcast, where we explore all things pertaining to competition archery. I'm your host, PJ Riley, and our CAM podcast is brought to you by our platinum sponsors, Trueball Excel, Matthews, PSE, Black Eagle, Elite, B3 Archery, and Victory Archery. And today we have with us, fresh off his Pan American Games gold, well, two gold medals and one silver, Trenton Cowles. Trenton, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. So first we should let folks know where you are. I believe you said you just finished your last final for the fall semester at Texas A&M, correct?
That is correct. Yeah, I've been training all year here at Texas A&M while pursuing an engineering degree. I did finish my last final. I'm very happy with how they all went.
Now, so there's lots of things I want to get into. Let's start there just with what you're doing at Texas A&M. So Texas A&M, you guys have like a pretty active archery team there, especially on the recurve side. Am I correct?
That's extremely correct. We actually have about six top recurve archers that are super competitive, and we're all fighting for the three spots on the team. And then we've got competition on the recurve female and just all across the board. We're really excited for how Collegiate Nationals is looking this year.
So in college, what's your competition season for archery? Have you guys started yet, or is it a spring thing?
We kind of have three main tournaments. There's Collegiate 3D Nationals, which just happened a couple months ago, and that was in Foley, Alabama. And then the two main tournaments that matter for All-American are Indoor Nationals and Collegiate Outdoor Nationals, which is being held in Chula Vista this year.
Okay, and now when is that one, the outdoor?
The outdoor, I think, is a week after second semester, if I'm correct.
Okay.
So I do not know the exact dates for that right now.
Yeah, right in the beginning of summer.
Correct.
And so you said, there's a bunch of you competing for the three spots on, the three recurve positions.
Yes.
How does that work in college? I mean, that sounds just like the USA archery format. There's usually three of you that go out on the team. What is the setup there?
The setup's pretty similar. We don't really have like a trials procedure or anything, but the coaches look at how we do at Indoor Nationals, how we're looking for All-American, and how we've been doing in practices, because we have to log our daily practices and we have to do a report and everything, just so the coaches know who's practicing and who they think the team should be that goes and represents the college. Gotcha. At the collegiate.
And so do you have like head-to-head matches? Like, do you have a match against Cumberland's, which is another archery college I could think of?
Yes, that's correct. So at Collegiate Nationals, we have the normal qualification process, and then we have the individual elimination rounds, team elimination rounds, and mixed team elimination rounds. So we're actually competing against multiple colleges. I think at the past one in Virginia, we had like the quarter round, semis, and then final rounds.
Yeah. And so only three of you will get to go there to represent Texas A&M in men's recurve.
Yeah, three of us will get funded spots for the team, and then the rest of the archers can go, but they'll have to go on their own.
Wow, that's interesting. I don't know much about collegiate archery. But let's start out, Trenton, where are you from?
I'm from L.A., California.
Well, okay, that's a little different. So Texas A&M, that's got to be two different worlds, I would imagine.
Both of them have very unique just styles, and they're both great. They both got time and a place. So I'm excited to go home. I miss my family, but I also love it here in Texas with all the college kids and just learning and studying for my degree.
Where do you shoot in Los Angeles?
So in LA, I, I shoot at a park called Woodley Park Archery. It's in Balboa Park. I don't particularly know how to describe where it is in relationship to LA.
Is it just like a public park, or is it a club, or how does it work?
Oh, no, it's a public park, yes. Oh,
okay. And when you go out there, are there a lot of archers in LA? I don't have any idea.
Woodley Park is actually, I believe, the practice field was for the 84 LA Olympics. So there's actually, it's a huge range with, like, it's got over 5 70-meter bales, 60-meter bales. And, yeah, there's a ton of archers there.
No kidding. Would you consider archery? Like, would you say that is a fairly big thing in LA? There's a lot of people who do it.
When you say a big, like, in a big thing to LA?
Not really. Yeah, but, probably not to LA.
But, like, it's a pretty big range. Like, there's, like, I cannot tell you everyone that goes to that range, there are so many people.
No kidding. How about that? That's awesome. And are a lot of them, like, what's the compound recurve mix?
It changes depending on the season. So, like, during hunting season, it'll probably be more like 80% compounds, 20% recurves. But, like, during the USAT season, it's probably a good 60-40 recurve compound.
See, that's interesting because, like, the clubs around here, I mean, I'm right around Lancaster Archery Supply, but if I go to a club around here, I will not see an Olympic recurve setup. I might see someone with some trad gear, but an Olympic recurve, I won't see any of that around here. But so that's interesting to hear that out there in L.A., there'll be a bunch of them out there. That's great.
Yeah, I have, like, a group of, like, 3 or 4 archers that I can shoot, like, with all the time, that shoot Olympic recurve 70 meters. So that makes practicing easier, and it makes just practicing more fun when you get to compete with similar people.
How did you get into archery?
Oh, the infamous question. I got into archery by playing Wii Sports Resort.
Really?
Yeah, that's how I got into it.
So you were playing it, and then what? You just, like, hey, I want to try this for real.
I was really good at the video game, and I wanted to try it in person. So I begged my parents. They finally took me to the range, and I sucked. But I'm a competitive person, so I was determined to just keep practicing till I was one of the best. And that's what I set my mind to.
So now, did you start there at that Woodley Park, or did you start somewhere else?
I started at Woodley Park, and then when I started, there was actually a Eastern Archery Center of Excellence, like, in Van Nuys, that has since closed, like, a couple years into my archery. But yeah, I've pretty much been at Woodley Park my entire archery career, shooting outdoors.
And so your first setup, did they just take you to a pro shop and get you hooked up, or did you start out with a coach? How did you begin?
So the Woodley Park actually offers free classes every Wednesdays and Saturdays. So I kept going to the free classes, and they'd give you a bow, they'd give you arrows, and they teach you the basic form. So I did that for about 6 months, and then finally they told me to go to the Easton Center. And at the Easton Center, that's where I got more formal coaching under Renee Pagia and Don Rabska. And that's where they told me to go to a local pro shop and get my first recurve.
Uh-huh. And now, did you always stick with recurve, or was compound in there at all?
I've always had, like, as soon as I saw archery, I had my mindset on the Olympics. So it's always been recurve archery.
Gotcha. And I guess I should mention, you are how old now, and what year at Texas A&M?
I'm just finished my first semester of sophomore year at Texas A&M, and I'm 19 years old.
19 years old. Okay. And you've been shooting archery for how long?
I've been shooting since I was 10, so about 9 years now.
I actually watched the 2020 SoCal Showdown. I just watched the final between you and Joseph Scarborough, and Jack Williams was on there saying that you came up through the JOAD program. Tell me about that, where you went, how you got into it.
So I started my competitive career when I applied to be on JDT, which was the junior dream team at the time. So that was like a elite club that was based out of Chula Vista at the Olympic Training Center at the time. So the first time I applied and tried out, I didn't make it. And then the second time I finally had got a couple more scores under my belt and they finally accepted me. And that's where I got more high level coaching under Coach Kisik Lee and some of the other level 5 NTS coaches.
So now how old are you when you get on the junior dream team?
Oh, that's a great question. I want to say 14 or 15.
Okay. Wow. So still pretty young there. And yeah. So now, as you mentioned, you've had your eye on the Olympics. That's your goal. That's what you're working toward. This is the path to do it. Like, tell me about that. Are you shooting, you know, what's your training schedule look like? You're shooting year round. What are you doing?
Yeah, I shoot pretty much year round. I take an occasional like week or two off after like after this heavy competitive season. Mine was a little extended because of the Junior Pan American Games. So right when I came back, I kind of took a little time off to work on finals. So as soon as I get back to LA, I'm going to pretty much start back up shooting both 70 and 18. I shoot 70 all year round because my main focus is the Olympics, and that's the distance.
So you're 19 now. You started this about 14 or 15. I saw you went to the 2018 Pan American Championships as well.
Yeah. That was down in Colombia.
Yeah.
As well.
So that would have been like you would have just been in the JDT program just like 2 or 3 years. In your mind, what was your first big like competition?
Oh, that's a great question, because first big competition is always relative.
yeah, for you, that's what I mean. What do you see? What do you see as like, all right, this is where I really started, you know, getting into the big leagues.
It's that Pan American Championships, because that was one of my my first big league tournament was Indoor World Championships in Yankton, South Dakota, because that was my first international tournament.
Okay.
And I was shooting in the junior division.
Okay. Now that one's an indoor, so you were shooting 18 meters, 20 yards, correct?
Correct.
Okay. How'd you do there?
Individually, I kind of freaked out a little bit and didn't do as well as I wanted, but we did walk away with a team bronze. So
there you go.
I was very pleased with that.
Was it nerve-wracking? Like you said, you freaked out a little bit. Was it just like, man?
I could not stop shaking. I was very nervous that tournament. And like the coach literally came up to me and he's like, Coach D was the coach that was coaching the junior team there. And he's like, just don't worry. Shoot like you're shooting in practice. See, I remember like the archer that I was going to go against in practice, he was like 30, 30, 30, 30. And he just told me, if you shoot your shot, you're not even going to have to worry about his. And then I went on and won my first match. So that's my just most memorable part of that tournament.
That's great. And then it's that same year that you went to the Pan American Championships.
Yes, later that year I went to the Pan American Championships. And I believe I got 2 golds and a silver there as well.
That's what I saw mixed gold, team gold, and individual silver.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's got to feel, I mean, you're at that early in your career, your competition career, I mean, you got to feel good about the results.
Oh, yeah. It was actually funny because I went to the Pan American Championships. I went in as almost a practice event because I had already had my eyes set on doing really well at the Youth Olympics then. So I was like, I'm going to face pretty much all of the Youth Olympians at the Pan American Championships, just shoot my shot, shoot like I'm shooting in practice, and then I can see how I compare at least to quarter of the board there that's going to be at the Youth Olympics. And I was very happy with the results there.
Yeah, that's awesome. And now there... What age division were you competing in then?
I was shooting in the cadet division, so I was shooting 60 meters at the time.
And now then, also in 2018, you went to the Youth Olympics.
Yeah.
Where was that held? I am unfamiliar with the Youth Olympics as well.
So the Youth Olympics was held in Buenos Aires, Argentina that year. And that was probably one of the biggest events I've been to. Like, I was dorming with other athletes from Team USA, but in different sports.
Okay, right.
So it was like the Olympics I've watched on TV, except for it was all teenage kids, and then obviously for archery, we only sent one archer instead of a full team.
Oh, so you were the only one that went.
Yeah, it was one. There was one girl and one guy. So it was me and Catalina.
No kidding.
They went.
Oh, wow. Just for a life experience, that's got to be pretty incredible. You're going down there by yourself. You don't know anybody.
I've got so many memories from that tournament just because I had put so much hard work into making it on the team and then making it towards actually shooting well in Argentina. So that was a lot of big steps for me at that competition.
And how did that competition go for you?
I would say it went pretty well. I won individual gold and mix. It's not really a mixed team because they didn't do it by country, but it was like mixed nation bronze. Oh. So I actually shot with a girl from Namibia.
Oh, okay. They mixed up countries. How about that? That's great. And you won the individual gold there. I did not see that on the stat sheet I was looking at. That's kind of a big one.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I won individual gold at the Youth Olympics.
Wow. That's it. Now, so that was in 2018. So are they every 4 years as well? So they're coming up again.
Yes, they're supposed to be in 2022, but I believe because of COVID, they pushed it back a year to 2023.
Oh, okay. And what's the top age for that? Like, you're 19 now. Will you still be eligible for it? Or I don't know when they make you go senior.
No, the age for that is only, I think, 15 to 17. So I know Casey was mad because she's going to miss it on both ends. She's going to miss it too young and too old.
Wow. Okay. So you can't go to that again. You had your one time there.
Yeah, that tournament, you get one shot at it. If you're in that age bracket, you can try out. So it's very.
Gotcha. That's awesome. And now, so you come into 2021, you go to the Pan Am Championships again. And this time as a junior, I'm guessing.
Yes, this time junior shooting 70 meters. So just like the Olympics.
Right. All right, so you get out there, and now tell me about that, because obviously things went well for you. You know about how many people you're shooting against?
Okay, thank you. There were about 23 male recurves in the recurve division. We had qualifications. That was my highest ever placement at a qualification internationally. I qualified third. So just for me getting over just the qualification nerves, placing high and making the mixed team and the team rounds, that already set me pretty, like, mentally I was like, okay, now I'm ready for all the team events basically. And then I got getting to shoot with Casey, getting to shoot with Junso. We were just fantastic team, great team chemistry. And I know that we had all been working really hard practicing for this event. So with just complete trust, we shot phenomenal.
You and Casey broke some record there.
Did we? I didn't actually know that.
I was reading something. What I was reading through said you got either you broke a record or you had the highest combined score. I forget what it was exactly. I was reading from USA Archery, but I think maybe it was you two qualified first, and your score was like crazy high. Higher than anybody else's. And then the two of you, that was one of your gold medals. You guys won mixed gold. And now for the men's team, who was on that with you?
That was me and Junso Oh. So we shot teams together. For this Junior Pan American Games, they were trying out a new format where they were just having two archers on as a team round. Okay. Instead of the full three.
Yeah. Now, how did you like that?
I, in general, would prefer the three-man team. And that's just because I like including more people in the event. Two people works fine. We ran it just like a mixed team, and I think we did pretty well. But I just like more people being involved in it, just a bigger event overall.
Yeah, yeah. Three's better than two, right?
Yeah.
So your individual gold, who were you shooting against for the gold medal?
I was shooting against Jesus from Mexico.
From Mexico, okay. And how did that one go? I didn't even see the final score, what it was.
The score, that match actually went off to a shoot-off. Definitely should not have gone to a shoot-off. I shot 229 straight out the gate for a 4-0 lead, and then I was just getting thrown off by the wind, and I just made some good shots that didn't land where I wanted them to. And then he ended up pulling it back to a 5-5 shoot-off.
Wow. So you're coming down. Now, how's this? I mean, you're at the Pan Am Championships gold medal match, one arrow shoot-off. I mean, that's got to be the peak of pressure, I would imagine.
It was pretty stressful going into that last arrow because the three ends before, I could not find my aiming point, didn't know where I was. Like, I'd pick my spot, shoot a great shot, wouldn't land where I thought it was going to land. So I went into that last arrow just like, okay, one last arrow, full confidence. I picked my spot, and I believe I was just out left nine. So I was like, it's a great shot. Still, he got plenty of room. Now, nothing I can do. It's out of my hands. So I just got to watch him shoot a zero.
And what did he hit?
I think he shot a left nine as well, just a little bit further out than mine.
Farther out. Gotcha. Wow. That's got to be super exciting way to win it on a one arrow shoot off for the gold medal.
Yeah, it makes things stressful, makes things tense, but
yeah. So let's talk about your setup a little bit. Cause you're talking about, you know, it felt like it was a good shot, but it didn't go where you wanted it to. What draw weight are you shooting on your recurve?
I'm shooting 48 pounds when at full draw.
Okay. And your aperture, what are you looking at?
Like, are you talking about, I don't know what size dot I have, but I'm shooting the,
you do have a dot,
the Shrewd Flex aperture.
Okay.
Yeah, I use a dot.
You use a dot. Okay. Now, so in this wind, are you one of the archers, like, you aim off? Is that how you deal with wind?
Yeah, I was aiming, I believe, high left eight when I shot my shoot-off arrow, and then it just dropped straight down.
Gotcha. Just didn't go as far right as you thought it was going to go.
Yeah, that's correct. Like, the wind had, like, previously been blowing me really hard, and when I was aiming middle, I was low right eight, so I was like, okay, I'm going to pick my spot high left, may execute my great shot. Yeah. Wind wasn't blowing as hard, so.
Gotcha. Wow. Wow, that's incredible. I mean, congrats on all that hardware. So now that you come back from it, you're back sitting there with two golds and a silver. What are you thinking in your head? I mean, that's got to be three golds, I guess, would have been perfect, but two golds and a silver is nothing to sneeze at. But how does it feel for you, given the work that you put in? What's your satisfaction level when you look back on that?
Oh, when I look back, it's a solid 10 out of 10. It was another tournament that I put everything in for this year. I saw that on the calendar, and that was my main goal for 2021. I was like, I want to make the Junior Pan American team and the youth world championship team, and I want to do really well at both of them, but specifically Junior Pan Americans, because I went to Guatemala World Cup, and that's where they were talking about, if you win at the Junior Pan American Games, you're actually guaranteed a spot at the Senior Pan American Championships it's in Chile. I don't remember the city name.
And when's that?
That, I think it's Santiago in 2023. I do not know when it is.
So you're
a little bit of work.
You're guaranteed a spot.
Yeah. So
nice.
This is the first time, instead of like guaranteeing the country a spot to go, they're guaranteeing the individual the spot to go.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So you earn the spot and now you get to keep the spot.
Yes, that is correct.
Wow. That's, well, I mean, now you got to be amped up for that.
Oh, that's, that's my next goal, is just training for the Olympics, Olympic trials, and going to Santiago.
Yeah.
Pan American Championships.
So, all right. So let's talk about that. Talk about the Olympics. Were you, I'm guessing you, well, I'll ask, were you involved in the trials for the this past summer's Olympics?
Well, I kind of was. The year of trials, both of them, I qualified fourth USAT, making the World Cup team. But actually, the first two events, I kind of had like a little mental freak and didn't actually make the first top 16 cut. So I learned a tremendous amount from that experience, and I've just been applying it to my practice and looking forward to the 2024 Olympic trials after a little shortcoming that I had for the Tokyo Olympics.
So for the next Olympics, I mean, you're going to school. So does that mean that you're not part of the RA program, or how does that work?
That is correct. I like to call it, I'm part of the A&M program. We all push each other to shoot really well, and we're shooting really good right now. So I'm not looking to change anything and just keep building on what I have right now.
Yeah. Who are some of the archers who are on that A&M team with you? I know a couple of them, but you run through them, because there's some good ones.
So I shoot matches against both the recurve and some of the compound members. So we've got one of the compound members I shoot with a lot is Connor Sears. We got Connor Caulfield I shoot with now at Bowhunter. We got Venu. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. I'm not even going to try. He's a recurve archer that's been shooting really well this past year. Alex Guillen, he's shooting really well. Skylar Rosenberg and Nick Swidrick. Our whole team is
That's awesome.
Shooting well.
Yes. And so now you go to the USAT events. Obviously, I've seen you there. What's it like for you when you get out there and you're up on the line and you're shooting there with Brady Ellison, Jack Williams, you know, all the guys. Jacob Wookie was out there this past year. What's it like shooting with those guys?
Oh, I love shooting with them. They push me to work even harder. I like to see them as friends. I've shot with them, alongside of them, and I shot against them multiple times. So I don't try to like put them up on a higher pedestal, because I'm trying to get to the same level that they are. So I just keep shooting my shot, and we're all friends on and off the field.
Is there anything that those guys do that, you know, you take and apply to your game, or do you have your thing and you just do what you do? Or, you know, do you take tips from Brady, Jack, or anything like that?
Oh, yeah, of course. Like these past couple of years, I've been talking to all of them, just getting tips here and there. Like a big thing I've been working with Brady is just on mental game. He's super big on that. And that's kind of where I faltered on the 2020 trials, is I kind of got in my own way, in my own head. So talking with him, working on how to just be more mentally strong and be able to control my own thoughts throughout my shot.
Yeah. Is it just a matter of, well, you tell me in your words, what is it that you have to do to make you have a good shot? Because I'll say in this, the 2020 SoCal finals, Jack noticed it right away. There was, I forget what end it was, but you came up and shot, and I don't know much about recurve, but I could see you just looked super comfortable. And Jack said, oh, okay, there's a good shot. He was confident. He made the shot, and it was a 10. But from your end, when you're up there shooting, what do you need to do to get the best results?
I basically just have to remind myself, go back to the process. I have a set of steps I say in my head, and then I have a mantra when I get to the end, just to get through my shot pretty quickly and not really think about anything. So I just go set up, load, anchor, and then keep moving until the shot goes off. So as long as I keep doing that, going back to that basic, just a couple core principles, just reminding me. I I have a really high sense of like feeling of how my shot is. So I know when it's a good shot and when it's not a good shot.
When something goes wrong. I saw a couple of shots there. You put some English at the end of your shots.
Oh, yeah. I do that a lot.
It worked.
I don't even do it on purpose. Yeah, it works. I don't do it on purpose. It's just kind of like a body reaction that like subconsciously it needs to be here. So I don't try to correct it because the body knows what it's doing. I've practiced the shot that I need to shoot and my body's just fixing the little things that I wasn't paying attention to.
That's awesome. So we're coming. So, I mean, we're in December now. Obviously this is indoor season. Do you do much indoor competition?
Yeah, I do a lot of indoor shooting. I do mix it with 70 meter outdoor because I do have to prepare for collegiate national, indoor nationals, and the Lancaster Classic.
Gotcha. Okay. How have you fared? That was one thing I didn't look up. How have you fared at the Classic through the years? I don't even know.
I've gone to the Classic twice and have not made the cut twice. Okay. In the youth division.
In the youth division. Okay.
So I'm looking to break the streak this year or this upcoming year.
Is that obviously 18 meters, 70 meters. I mean, the world's apart. But for you, how did those games differ? Do you change anything? Are you still shooting X10s or do you go to big arrows? What do you do for indoor versus outdoor?
I do shoot X10s. I do change how my weight setup is a little bit. I like the bow to not move as much. I like a more steady bow indoors because you don't have those factors of wind, just the distance. So I like to set up my bow a little more back heavy, have it sit there a little better, aim a little better. And that's what works for me indoors.
You keep the same draw weight, 48.
Same draw weight, same arrows. I like to be able to go to outdoors and just switch a couple of weights. So not really a big deal to go change distances.
I forget. I think it's 23 diameter, I want to say, that Brady shoots for indoor. I can't remember. But I remember.
For
indoor.
For World Archery, he's 23. I think for the Classic in like Vegas, he likes to shoot the 25s.
Okay, 25s. That's right. That's right. And I was watching him shoot. He was here early, and his arrow flight was horrible. I mean, they were going down to the target like knock left hard. I think it was knock left. And so, you know, I mean, Brady Ellison, he can do what he wants. But I think I said something like, hey, what's up with that arrow flight? And he said, they go in the middle. I don't care what it looks like in flight. I thought, well, that is
definitely a philosophy I've taken. Some of my arrow flight have been horrendous, but if they go in the middle, yeah. I'm not touching
it. It makes sense. I mean, I was shooting my compound. He was shooting his recurve setup, and he was kicking my butt. So who am I to say anything? But that just seemed like the simplest answer. Hey, if it goes in the middle, who cares? You know, we're always worried about arrow tune and what's the flight look and all that. In the end, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it matters if it hits where you want it to hit. So.
Oh, man. So now at Texas A&M, as you mentioned, one of the nationals that you have is 3D, collegiate 3D nationals. Do you do much of that, you know, through the spring and summer, much 3D shooting?
Texas A&M doesn't really shoot 3Ds a whole lot. We don't have a lot of terrain here, so we just do pretty much target shooting. But we did send a couple archers down there. This was my first 3D nationals, and we all shot really well this year.
Yeah. Was that hugely different for you? I mean, you don't have, you know, the yellow ring or anything, but was it largely different for you?
It was definitely experience shooting at animals and just having to know where to aim instead of a giant yellow center that you get to look at.
Yeah.
So I had to learn how the targets are, how the scoring goes, but it was all marked. So just shooting the different distances wasn't too bad.
Right, right. Yeah, that was the other thing I was going to ask. Then obviously you had to set a sight tape so you could shoot the different distances.
Yep, spent plenty of days walking back meter by meter just getting all my sight settings.
Did you like it? Or is 70 meter, that's your thing?
I did enjoy it. I do enjoy 70 meters and training for the Olympics, but it was a good mix it up and you learn different things when you try different things. So I was I learned something different having to pick my spot to aim. It definitely helps for aiming off. It definitely helps with just paying attention to where and how the body feels while you're making your shot. So it was just a different experience, and I think it just helps my overall growth in archery.
That's great. Now, going into the Olympics, do you shoot all the USAT events, Buckeye, you know, different things like that? SoCal, obviously, you shot. Do you shoot them all?
Yes, I shoot all the USAT events because another like sub goal of mine is just to make that World Cup team and keep making USAT.
Gotcha. And now this year coming in, will you at 19, are you competing as a, you're still a junior. When do you have to go
I'm
to senior?
I'm still classified as a junior, but I moved straight from cadet to seniors. So I've been in the shooting in the senior division since 2019.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. What's your best finish at a USAT event in the senior division?
I won my first SoCal as a senior. I won gold. And then I think I won silver the year after. And that's the one that you're referring to. SoCal is usually my highest finish doing, and it's home territory. So that's always fun.
I was going to say, does it help because that's basically your backyard? Well, it's California.
I mean,
anyway.
A little bit. I mean, I know Chula Vista. I know how the wind works there. I've shot there quite a lot. So I do consider that kind of like a other home for archery.
So how do you envision that will work for you getting ready for the next Olympics, which 24, correct? 2024.
Correct.
How do you envision that will work for you? You got at least two more years of college after this one. How do you think that will all work together? Or are you kind of going to play it by ear, maybe take some time off? What's your thoughts?
Both play it by ear, but I know that if once I set my mind to something, even with school and classes, I can make my schedule to where I can still get adequate practice and practice as much as I need. So I'm still going 100%, 110% towards 24 Olympics, and I'm excited to study while doing it.
Yeah. What is a basic 70-meter, you know, what's your kind of your average score, and where is that fit? Like, okay, if the Olympics were tomorrow, boom, here's where I would sit compared to, like, Brady and Jack. What's a good round for you at 70 meters?
Are you talking practice or in tournament?
Either. Whatever, you know, you shoot that round, practice, tournament, either situation, you know, this is, you know, you can shoot this score because you have.
Okay. For an individual 70 round, my highest at tournament is a 339. This year I shot a bunch of 338s. So I'm looking to finally break into that 340s in a tournament because in practice, I'm usually 680 plus, like all the time. And it's just getting that little bit of mental confidence, a little bit of just breaking through that barrier. And then I think I'll be starting to push up a little higher. So
I was going to say Brady's like, I mean, he obviously has broken 700, but he's usually like 690s, high 690s.
Yeah, high 690s. He's definitely normally over 680. So that's how I practice. But just bringing that to a tournament, I'm slowly bringing my tournament scores up.
Okay, gotcha. Getting that tournament game in. That's obviously that is a different game. Yeah, for sure. We're all pros in our backyard. Well, okay, so outside of archery, what things do you like to do? What do you do to take your mind off of archery?
Ooh, I like to play chess, hang out with friends. Just be outside, hang outside.
Yeah, I know Connor's into F1 racing down there. Do you guys, are you into that as well?
Oh, we're big into that down here. So we watched just the last race a couple weeks ago, and that was exciting. It was a championship battle. So
yeah,
it's so much fun watching that with my roommates.
Is they still have one of the races in Austin, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
And we're looking to go to it next year, actually.
Gotcha. That'll be a good time for sure. So, Trent, yeah, tell me about your family and, you know, who do you got in your corner and what do they think about this archery journey that you're on?
So I'm one of five kids. I'm the oldest. So that makes my parents do an amazing job just handling all, because we all do different sports. We all have different schedules. So I actually go to all the USATs and all the archery tournaments with my grandparents. So they've pretty much been to every single tournament I've been to. I'm super grateful for them. They've been extremely influential throughout my life. And my whole family has tremendous support behind me. And they're just so, how they've shaped me to who I am.
What do they think about the archery thing? I mean, was archery a thing in your family before you, or are you the first?
I am definitely the first. They, not even a thought in their mind, archery. They didn't even, like, archery wasn't, like, I did baseball, I did soccer, I did some of the basic sports, and then archery, they're like, huh, that's a random sport. And they, now I'm traveling the world with it.
Yeah. I mean, when you were sitting there playing Wii in your house, did you ever think that you would be going to the Pan American Championships and winning a gold medal?
That's not where my thought was, but it's been a long journey.
Yeah, yeah. And now the Olympics, that's the end game.
That's the next little hurdle.
All right. Well, Trenton, we certainly appreciate your time today and wish you the best of luck this year and with your journey going forward. But most importantly, we thank you for taking time out today to be with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure talking about my experience and archery journey.
All right, folks, that is another episode of the Competition Archery Media Podcast. You can find our podcast on the platforms where you find all your favorite podcasts. Thanks for joining us.